Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. For anyone listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast. Then search for Benefit from the Bible. God bless your listening.
In the name of Jesus, our Shepherd King, amen. Come to Bethlehem with Micah the prophet. That's the theme of our three-part Advent series. And the particular topic tonight you see written there in your bulletins, the true Christian rush. Or we could put it in another way, people need to rush to learn the true meaning of Christmas. Our text comes from Micah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where we read, "The Lord God says, I will certainly gather all of you, Jacob, and bring together the remnant of Israel. I will put them like sheep in their enclosure, like a flock in the middle of their pasture. They will make noise that is hum among other human beings. The breaker will go up among them, ahead of them. Then they too will break through, also passing through the gate and leaving by it, with their king in front of them, even their Lord leading them." This is our text. Well, we're back to the theme that we had last week in a sense. We heard about Jesus being the coming shepherd. And in your bulletins, I remind you of that terrific shepherd passage from Ezekiel 34. I wish to read that to you again. God says, "I will raise up one shepherd over them, my servant David, who will feed them. He will feed them. And he will be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be the prince among them. I, the Lord, say so. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and I will remove the wild beasts from the land, so that people will live safely, and even in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods." Well, today, we backtracked to the first of Micah's three Advent Christmas prophecies. Well, the time of Micah, that was a turbulent time. Just like the times today are very, very parallel and turbulent. Yes, almost all the political leaders, the religious leaders called prophets, and the so-called religious people, they were morally bankrupt. That was the world in which Micah lived. And if you read his book and do the first 27 verses of chapters 1 and 2, and then the 12 verses of chapter 3, we find sandwiched in between our text today, that is the only gospel that you will find in all of those verses. It's all law. It's a listing of all the sins of the clergy, of the prophets and political leaders, of the ordinary people themselves. A bad, bad time. And of course, they lacked true spirituality and valid knowledge of God. What's the situation today? Let's come to Christmas present. And to bring you there, I take an article that appeared on the internet this week. Well, December 5th is when it came. And it's written by Tyler O'Neill, and it's called "President Obama Leaves Christ Out of Christmas." It's a powerful article. O'Neill writes, "This year, the ABC network television special, A Charlie Brown Christmas, turns 50 years old, and ABC had a party to celebrate. When it was Obama's turn to speak, he explained Christmas by saying, and I quote, "Tiny trees just need a little love. And on this holiday, we celebrate peace on earth, goodwill to all." Good grief, O'Neill says. Even Christmas is about the environment. Is nothing sacred from politicking? But this statement by Obama, this is really a travesty, says O'Neill. Here is Obama's full statement, in case a patriotic American hoped that our president did not just remove Jesus Christ from the true meaning of Christmas. President Barack Obama said, "Hi, everybody. We'll be brief, because we know that adults all sound like wah, 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 especially here in Washington. But we want to wish a happy 50th anniversary to one of our country's most beloved traditions, a Charlie Brown Christmas." Michelle chimes in, "For a half a century, people of all ages have gathered around the TV to watch Charlie Brown, Lucy, Linus, and the rest of the gang teach us the true meaning of Christmas. They, all of those characters, teach us that tiny trees just need a little love, and that on this holiday, we celebrate peace on earth, goodwill toward all." And Michelle ends it by saying, "Because as Linus knows, that's what Christmas is all about." O'Neill writes his commentary, "Oh, really, Miss First Lady? Linus would beg to differ. Here he is on the first Christmas special 50 years ago telling Charlie Brown what Christmas is all about." "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please." Linus narrates, quoting from Luke 2, the old King James Version. "And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Linus continues, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Simply and humbly, Linus concludes, says O'Neill, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." O'Neill concludes, "There it is, the true meaning of Christmas, according to the Christian tradition, is Jesus Christ. This remarkable person is the reason for the season. The Son of Man, who is fully God, and miraculously fully a human being like you and me. Christians celebrate Christmas because we believe something truly incredible, that God became man and dwelt among us. Next to the resurrection, this is the most important doctrine in Christianity," says O'Neill. "It is the reason why Christmas hymns celebrate Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Or hark the herald angels, glory to the newborn king. In a little stable in the backwater town of Bethlehem, in the outskirts of the Roman Empire, a baby was born. That baby is the creator of the universe, the one true king of all humanity, the word by which God spoke all things into being. In Christian doctrine, all men and women have sinned and deserve death and hell. God, by sending his son Jesus Christ, and by allowing him to die upon the cross, gave sinful human beings a way to live forever in heaven with him. Only a perfect sacrifice could atone for sin, and so the Redeemer had to be perfect, and he was. Christmas for over 2,000 years has been about the miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ. Peace on earth and goodwill to men, as Linus said, are made possible through the birth of Jesus. And even the Christmas tree is a celebration of Jesus, not of nature. Obama, by contrast, emphasized the tree, the peace and goodwill, without one mention of God, Jesus, or the story that clearly inspired a Charlie Brown Christmas. While the TV special quotes scripture in detail, the president mentions one tradition or two, and then his wife triumphantly declares, "That's what Christmas is all about." No, Mr. President, Christmas is not about green energy, your efforts at world peace, or the politically correct replacement of the Anglo-Saxon word men with the Norman word all. The trees, the peace, and the goodwill have one source, and that is none other than Jesus Christ. Obama says he's proud to be a Christian, but statements like this make him seem ashamed of the gospel and encourage Christians to feel ever more isolated in the political realm. A powerful article hitting directly at the Christian rush, namely that people need to rush in order to find out the true meaning of Christmas. Now we go back to Micah. In the midst of all of his criticism of the sins of his people of his day, he sounds a word of hope for the people of his time and for you and me, the people of this time, in a world that does not understand. And I want to read the 12th verse again. This is what Micah has to say in the words of God. God says, "I will certainly gather all of you, Jacob, and certainly bring together the remnant of Israel." Now you got to remember that this one coming together, we call it the Holy Christian Church. Dr. Luther called it the invisible church. The Christians who are everywhere in this world, they are the true church. And God knows them, and he can protect them. As the text goes on to say, "I will put them like sheep in their enclosure." Our enclosure is called the world, where he protects us. "And like a flock, I will put them in the middle of the pasture with my protection." And then he says, "I will put them like sheep in their enclosure, like the flock. They will make noise," that is hum, "among other human beings," victory being in sight. I think in these turbulent days, it's kind of easy to get depressed and not know that the victory has already been won on Calvary's cross with the "it is finished," with the empty tomb on Easter, with the ascension of our Lord taking his seat at the right hand of God the Father. Nothing can go wrong. The victory is complete. You and I are still under the test mode. And God wants us to know the real meaning of Christmas, that we do not lose our faith when everything looks so hopeless at times. They will make noise. Wow, a large crop of sheep called Christians, bleating. And if you have millions of them, that is a lot of noise. That hums. And that's what it says in Revelation 7, verse 9. The crowd before the throne on Judgment Day is so great that no one can count it except God himself. Millions going to heaven, but the sad thing is billions headed the other way. Wide the road that leads to destruction, narrow the road that leads to heaven. And so it is that the Christians make a lot of noise. Ah, like in singing, like in lifting up prayers, like in giving thanksgiving. Oh, and also giving the word out in this world, both here at home and even overseas. Yep. In other words, we're irritating the hell out of unbelievers in this world as they protest that the Christians are testifying too much on the sidelines of football or here or there where it just doesn't seem appropriate. But then again, the Christians are also driving hell out of people who would come to the Lord Jesus and know that they don't have to go to hell but can be saved in heaven above. That's what God's true people are doing. They are humming. They are making noise as the prophet predicted 700 years before Jesus was even born. God knows the future. God holds the future in his hand. God has the future secured for you and me. And now the great name of Jesus in this text. I'll bet most of you have never heard it. You know, on the pages of Scripture, Jesus has over 100 different names given to him, like shepherd, door of the sheep, water of life, bread of life, and we can go on and on. Here's the new name. It says in verse 13, the breaker, the one who breaks through, will go up ahead of them. He will go ahead of his sheep. Then they too, the sheep, that's you and me, and the people to whom Micah was speaking, then too, they will break through as in a stampede. The word for breaking there means a rush forward as in a stampede. Also passing through the gate and leaving by it. Yes, leaving sin behind and going and following Jesus, who is the gate, or as he says in John 10, I am the door of the sheep. And how do they leave? With their king in front of them. Did you see that there? Now, it's not like you and I do it. We have a problem, and first we try to solve the problem, and we put Jesus behind the flock. Then when we can't solve the problem, all of a sudden we decide to go in prayer and let Jesus do the leading. They do it with Jesus in the lead, leading them and out there in front of them. But there's something you may not have caught here. You see, in Scripture, there are many motifs that run throughout the Scriptures, like darkness and light, sin and forgiveness. And here's one of those motifs, the old Exodus and the new Exodus. What was the old Exodus about? It was about a man named Moses, who also had his flaws. He led the people out of Egypt, and they all died except two out in the wilderness because of sin. A new Exodus was needed. A new Moses was needed. His name, Jesus, who leads us on an exodus out of sin, having done away with it at Calvary, and leads us on toward the promised land. For as the last hymn of the old hymn book said, heaven is my home. You see, you and I can be in a worldly stampede, or we can be in a Christ-centered stampede. Now, we all know about Black Friday, right? And some of the stampedes that have been at Walmart. Of course, this year, they calmed that down a little bit because Black Friday started before Black Friday, and it's still going, so you can get out there and get your sales and be in less of a stampede, but still a worldly stampede. But God calls us to do it differently. He says, be in a rush to get Christ. And I thought, as I was doing Christmas cards this year, and one of them that I was privileged to send out really impressed me on the front. And I think it's worth us to hear it so that we know what the true meaning of Christmas is. It says, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, he would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, he would have sent us an economist. And if our greatest need had been pleasure, he would have sent us an entertainer. But he knew that our greatest need was forgiveness, so he sent us a Savior. That says it pretty good, doesn't it? The world is so mixed up. They're looking for this person to save them, and that person, or this policy, or this product, and they're rushing forward to see if they can see it and have hope in this world. Well, our hope is in eternity, though it starts already in this world with Christ. So I ask you tonight, what is your rush? May it be a rush, the Christmas rush, that you would know that the true Christmas rush is to know who is the center of Christmas and the message that it brings. In the name of Jesus, he who is the Shepherd King, we ask it. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts, your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. During Advent, this is our Wednesday schedule, services at 11 and 7, free meals at noon and 6. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.